It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
And I was worried.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shafty.
Take it out.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
What is happening? It is game day for the Golden State Warriors as they welcome back Klay Thompson as he comes back to the Bay Area. It is the first game of the Emirates NBA Cup, of course, group play with the Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. But Klay's back. Our favorite son, Klay is back after 13 years with the Golden State Warriors, four championships, all NBA teams, all-stars, you name it, three-point leader, made threes. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, well, welcome back, Klay Thompson, and it should be a lot of fun. It's the first 18,000 plus will receive Captain Klay hats. Klay Thompson is back, and we circled his calendar, and after tonight, we can get back to normalcy, Shasky.
Yeah, I'm very eager to see what the broadcast has in store, what the arena is going to have in store. This doesn't feel like a normal, hey, here's a video montage for a guy who won a ring because he was the ninth man or whatever on the team. So I'm very eager to see, you know, how the fans show out and express their love for an all-time Warrior.
You almost had me thinking that they're going to try to retire his jersey tonight. Well, just to be hit, but I don't think they're going
to
do that.
Here's what I would say to you. Very rarely does a guy of his legacy come back and play his former team. To me, one of the utmost signs of respect would be setting the precedent of like, hey, we're going to retire your number in real time while you're still playing. That's how much you mean to us.
That would be crazy.
And I think it would be a huge step forward in, if there is saltiness, bitterness.
You know how many fans that would go crazy. You're going to retire his number before Steph.
Well, Steph's still on the team.
Yeah, no, I know, but still, there's going to be
another side of things. People will always be triggered.
Right, exactly.
That's if I was the Indianapolis Colts, I would have done that for Peyton Manning.
You know what's triggering me is that we booked the Royal Right, and you know, they're like 2 weeks removed from winning the World Series down in L.A.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I want to. I don't even know if we should we just hang up the phone on D-Wright? All right, let's play this open.
He runs South Beach.
Go holler at my boy Miles at Prime 112, the owner. Definitely drop my name. I'm always good in the MIA.
He has his own commercials.
Thought I'd spice things up.
He's now taking over the dial as our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider.
Hey, Bonte, I don't play basketball no more. I'm a full-time golfer.
Hey.
Okay?
Here's Darrell Wright.
He is a full-time golfer. And I still think he runs Miami. I say I'll build Dwayne Wade statue. His Instagram, your IG page, D, right? As you say, good morning to you. Was a movie. And you had us all jealous out here on the West Coast as Darrell Wright joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Darrell, we're looking forward to you coming back to the Bay and helping out on some shows on Warriors pre and post game on NBC Sports Bay Area. And you are getting your golf game out there, man. I am jealous of your life, man. What's going on? D right, long time no talk.
What's up, fellas, man? Thanks for having me, man. It's always good to, you know, come holler at my guys, man. Everything good, man, in SoCal. You know, everything is on the right path right now.
Absolutely. I know the Dodgers got the parade, they're doing that. Even though the Rams lost, I know you're not a Rams fan, but the Cowboys, you won't talk much football today. I know
please.
That.
Yeah, please.
We'll leave that alone. Let's start with Klay, because you were on the Warrior squad when Klay was a rookie. Mm-hmm. And as we were going to talk to Zaza and Fezzi later on today about different stages of Klay's career, when you first met Klay, the stories I heard was like, he just didn't talk. He just didn't know who he was. So can you explain kind of like when you first met Klay and what those first few months were like when Klay was entering the NBA as a rookie coming out of Washington State?
Man, fellas, you're talking about just a mute. You know, Klay said nothing ever. And but he was always funny. He was one of those guys that whenever something came out of his mouth, it was funny. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, in a locker room, when you walk in the locker room, you're supposed to speak to everybody. Klay would get there probably 10, 15 minutes before practice, beeline right to his locker and won't say nothing to anybody. You know, me being a vet, I used to be like, damn, young fella, like, good morning. Like, and he'd be like, oh, hey, what's up, guys? So, but just stand-up guy, man. Had an opportunity to work out with him almost every single day when we did our individual work. And I seen it from day one, just a sharp shooter. And I knew that he'd have a long, successful career in this league just because the work that he put in. And, you know, he was just about his business. He wasn't with no BS, none of the immature, none of that stuff. He came straight in, mature, and you know, acting like a pro from day one.
What was he like? Because we've talked so much about the Monte trade, you know. What was he like after the Monte trade when he now gets an elevated role?
Yeah, I think he was the same. He was the same person, you know. Even before Monte got traded, you know, Clay was still him. He still takes the shots that he took, and I think once Monte, you know, went on, he just got a little more aggressive. He got a little more comfortable being that starting lineup. And like I say, he was born to be a professional basketball player, because it felt like as soon as he got into that starting role, he just went into who he is today. So from day one, I felt like he was mature enough to understand what he had to do to be successful.
D-Wright, are you surprised? When he was in his prime, man, he could lock down anybody. I mean, he had to defend guys like Damian Lillard, Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Kyrie, all the top guys, helping out Steph Curry on the defensive end. When you first got to meet Clay, and we knew he was a sharp shooter, he would shoot that thing and he'll light it up for the three-point line. Did you think at an early stage that, boy, this guy can be one of the best two-way players in the NBA?
Never thought that. Never thought that in my day, because you just seen the offensive game was just off the charts. You know, the three-point shooting, the getting to my space and, you know, raising over the defense. And also the athleticism, he had that sneaky bounce. So really never even paid attention to the defense. You know, I knew he was always in the right spots. He understood the defensive schemes. But I felt like as his career went on, he got better and better on the defensive end and became one of those guys that you can depend on to go down and slow down the other team's best player. So I think over time he got much better at that, but never thought he'd be the two-way guy. Excuse me. Never thought he'd be the two-way guy that, you know, we all know today.
All right. So when you're the older guy on a team with a bunch of young guys, there's almost like this obligation to kind of go through some of the rituals away from the game, you know, and get to know everybody. What was he like away from the game? Like, what was he like when he wasn't playing basketball? Because so much is focused on basketball, and that's the beauty of Klay Thompson. But do you have any little nuggy nugs from you being the elder statesman and taking some of those young bucks out?
Oh, yeah. One thing about Klay, you know, he was quiet, but he always met downstairs when it was time to go hang out and go to dinner or a club, for sure. And I've caught Klay plenty of times when we were out having a great time, so that was always good to see, you know, especially someone like Clay that really didn't talk as much as he did, as he does today, but he always had a good time. So he always separated. He wasn't one of those guys who, like, basketball is life. That's all I think about, eat, sleep. So one thing about Clay, man, we had a great time. And it's cool to hear Clay talk when I hear him on a podcast or, you know, we come to our L.A. Hometown favorites camp and talk to the kids, and he just always brings up my name about how I helped him. And, you know, I just always be myself and, you know, try to give the young bucks as much advice as I can. And it sounds good when you hear Clay always mentioning those times when he felt like I was looking out for him or just being a good vet, man.
Darrell Wright here on the River Islands guest line on Amor LaRosa on 95.7 The Game. Our brother from another mother will be joining us on Warriors pre- and post-game coming up during the holidays. And so you obviously won a championship with the Miami Heat, Shaq and D-Wade, and you learned a lot from Shaq, and you and D-Wade are still tight. You guys are still tight to this day. And to hear Klay Thompson, guys, and I hear this from a lot of young players, like D-Wright was a great mentor. You get a lot of respect in this league. Can you speak to what Klay told your team? Because we talked a little bit. I saw that Klay Thompson spoke to your hometown's favorite crew, and it seemed like he's just in a great place right now. Did you sense that too, man, this offseason?
Yeah, I definitely did. You know, I just felt like he is at that spot right now where he just wants to prove people wrong, you know. And I went through this in my career when I went to Europe, and I just wanted – I still have so much left, and I feel like a lot of people probably doubted what I had left. Mm-hmm. So when you get that new start, it's like, man, I can finally show you guys what I've been talking about. It's probably been so frustrating, you know, for me to say it verbally, but my actions getting ready to show you that I'm still, you know, who I am. So mm-hmm. I feel like that's what Klay is going through right now. And he got off to an amazing start in the season. I think the last two games, he didn't shoot the ball extremely well. But, you know, still only 10 games in. But I felt like that was kind of like the person that I saw. And I even asked him, how you feel, man? Like, what you think? And I think the biggest thing for him is just like it's a restart. I get to kind of build my legacy with a different team. And, you know, I need it. You know, we saw them in the finals, you know, the role players and those three-point shooters not being able to make open shots for Kyrie and Luka. And he put a Klay Thompson with those guys, man, in a playoff game. I guarantee you Klay Thompson's going to make a lot of shots.
What was it like for your first time going back to Miami? You know, I know it's a little different. But, like, I'm just trying to – I can't even imagine what Klay's going to be going through. So what was it like for you?
For me, it was a little bit different. You know, obviously we did win a championship. I did spend 6 years there. It was amazing. You know, just all the love that I got as soon as I walked into the arena from, you know, the people that work behind the scenes, the people that you really have those conversations with every day. You know, when you start seeing those faces and, you know, seeing them smiles and them happy for you, for your new role with a new team. And then you get to the court and it's just like, man, you get so nervous. You're so excited. You just want to do well. And I tell a lot of people all the time, because, you know, my first game back in Miami, I had 30. Just a little quick humble brag. Hey, I had 30 of them things. and I always tell people, when you go back to your old team or somewhere where, you know, either you live that, you either play your best game of your life or you play your worst game. There's no in between. Right? You either play really, really good or really, really bad. So it was pretty special for me to go back to Miami. The people that drafted me saw me grow up as an 18-year-old kid and, you know, drop 30 on them.
You think Klay's downplaying this return? We saw the post game. I think it's just they lost to Denver 122-120. It's right after a game. He's probably not thinking about it. He's saying, hey, man, it's just another game in November. But deep down inside, knowing Klay the way you do, D, right, this is just not another game, right? He's going to be emotional on the inside, right?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Even that game, he came back from the, you know, 2 years removed, and it's gonna be, I feel like, that same type of energy, man. Just being back somewhere that you spent so much time, you got so much history, you basically helped change the franchise. Yeah, it's not gonna be another game. I know Klay is just trying to keep his nerves and his cool right now, but he's gonna be so excited to get back there, and he's gonna try to go at them boys. We all know what Klay is about to be on. And I really think he's going to be so excited and so nervous at the same time, where he just wants that ball to get tossed in the air so he could kind of relieve himself and, you know, feel good about himself.
You know, I don't know how he feels currently, but I know that I would be a little jaded if I was in his situation. Just there's so much baked into it. There's my own injuries, which I can't control. I've been busting my butt to try to come back. I'm trying to adjust to a new role. The finances that are just out there in the league right now, what I think that I've earned with my current organization, what they viewed me as, where I'm at now, the role they had for me. Like, I mean, I'm just naming 50 things here, and I'm trying to balance it all out. For you, how do you compartmentalize this as a player? So many emotions and so many layers to this. And like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, is Klay always going to feel a certain way toward the Warriors, whatever? Just speak on your own beliefs. Because I'm sure everyone who leaves any situations, you kind of feel like, I got to prove it to them. How did you get over that? Or do you ever get over those things?
Yeah, no, you never get over it. Shoot, I have, you know, my closest friend who is the franchise player, you know, leads in every stat, got a statue, got his number retired, Hall of Fame. But you better believe D. Wade is, you know, pretty pissed still to this day that he ever had to leave Miami. I'm still pissed that, you know, spending 6 years in Miami, I thought I was going to be there my whole career. You know, it just means a little bit more when you can finish your career in one place, you know, especially when you've done so much for the organization, for the city, for the community. You want to end your career there because that's home. You know, you've adjusted. You know, you call that home. We all know Klay being around the bay, you know, taking the boat out. Just all the things that he did, you know, that was his comfort zone. So now he's basically out of his comfort zone being in Dallas. So, yeah, you just, you know, it never goes away. You always want to stay in that one place the rest of your career, your whole career. So I'm pretty sure it's going to take a long time for Klay to get over that.
And on the flip side here, the Warriors are playing well, 8-2 to start the season. Buddy Buckets is balling. De'Anthony Melton is back. Steph is Steph. Draymond's having a hell of a start to the season. How do you think Steph and Dre are entering this game? Because that was their brother, the big three. You know, it was the big four with Kevin Durant, but then the big three with Klay, Steph, and Dre, and they helped build this thing, basically built this organization. How are they entering this game? How do you think they are, like, seeing their former player, former teammate in another uniform who they thought they were going to end their careers together with after they had 11-30-23 day last season, D, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a little weird for those guys because, you know, the history and what they've done together, and now you're just my opponent, like, what? So I think it's going to be a crazy game for those two guys as well. They're going to come out trying to fire and try to get at their boy, you know, get in their bags and talk their mess, so... I think for them as well, it's going to be one of those like playoff atmospheres because they're going to be so juiced up and so excited about the challenge, you know, playing their old boy. So the competitive nature never goes anywhere when you're playing against your guys. You want to beat the mess out of them. You want to, you know, have your best game. So I think Dre is coming out on a million.
Yeah.
I think Steph is going to be Steph, but I think Draymond for sure. I got them two getting chest to chest a little bit. You know, a little friendly fire.
I think so, too. We're playing the matchups here. And obviously, if Wiggins plays, he's going to guard Luka to start.
Yeah.
De'Anthony Melton's probably going to guard Kyrie. Mm-hmm. You know, Gafford's going to probably be guarded by TJD or Looney, whoever starts there at the five. And you got to think Dre or Steph are going to get the assignment on Klay Thompson to start.
Yeah, I like that. I like that, man. There's nothing like going against one of your guys. You know all their moves. You know what they love to do. Makes it just a little bit easier for you as a defender and on offense to, you know, kind of get to your spot or cut something off or take something away. So, yeah, that's going to be a great matchup. And we all know you can't leave Klay Thompson open, man. There's going to be a layup. So it's going to be interesting to see the scouting report. And it's also going to be interesting to see the things that the Dallas Mavericks do because a coach knows, the players, you know, they all want you to win. That was one of the things when you went back to one of your old teams, you know, your whole – crew kind of rallies around you like, man, we got to get this win for Klay. We got to get this win for, you know, this guy. So they're going to be feeding him and trying to get him open shots, probably even, you know, start the game off with a play for Klay. You know, kind of break the ice and feel good about itself.
When one door closes, another one opens for someone else, maybe even. Like, I'm looking at the opportunity now that Buddy Hield has had here as someone that's, you know, played in various locations and taken advantage of said opportunities. What do you think you've seen from Buddy Hield, and how do you think he's feeling right now? Because, boy, he's been phenomenal.
Man, listen, systems matters, teams matters, coaching matters, all that stuff matters. And I feel like Buddy Hield is finally in a spot where he's getting held accountable. He's getting the play, the way, the style that we've seen in Oklahoma. Because Buddy, he was doing all this stuff at Oklahoma, coming off down screens, you know, playing with the ball a little bit. So I feel like he's getting back to that role when he was in Oklahoma, you know, getting buckets. So he looks really, really good in this system. And I could see him being one of the guys deep down this season to help them, you know, get over, you know, in that playoff run against the team because he's shooting the ball lights out. We all know he's a great shooter, but he's a little more than just a great shooter. So I really, really have been enjoying watching Buddy Hield in this system.
I can't believe I'm blown away by him. I didn't know he had the bag that he had going to the cup and dunking and moving around here. D-Wright, overall, how are you feeling about this Warriors team? 8-2 start. Beat Boston. They're obviously no Jaylen Brown. They beat OKC. Chet gets hurt in that one, but up 30 gets Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City. That's impressive, nevertheless.
Yep.
How are you feeling about this Warriors team 10 games in?
I'm not going to lie. I'm really digging the team. I love how they fly around on defense. That's the one thing that's really standing out. It's two things that's standing out. The defense, they're flying around. You know, they're using their length. They're covering ground. They're protecting the paint. They're running guys off three-point line. But also, it's not one of those years where Steph Curry got to score 40 to get a win by five. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting guys all around, you know, contributing. I love J.K. still. You know, I'm still high on J.K. I want him just to be consistent and just play at a high level. But I really like this team. Melton, you know, that's a hometown favorite right there. He brought me a Drew Lee championship 2 years ago. So, you know, that's a L.A. guy. That's my guy. So I just really like this team. Before the season started, you know, you see some of the names, you don't think those guys can really you know, play at a high level. But I felt like those were great glue guys, adding Milton and Hill and those type of guys. So I really enjoy this team. And then you got the Young Bucks finally getting their opportunity. So, man, I really feel like this team is going to make some noise the rest of the year, for sure.
You've been on the J.K. train from day one, the day of the draft.
You already know.
You came to the studio and said they need to get J.K. And Shasky and I hopped on the bandwagon there. He's playing well in this role, playing really, really good basketball. So showing some maturity there. Warriors are 8-2. Dallas trying to get off the snide here on Clay Day, the first game of the Emirates NBA Cup. Now, do you right? The golf game looks good, too, man. Shasky's over here jealous. He's looking at all your videos right now.
Yeah, man, I think it's just I got too much free time right now. Thank God the season is back in. I got my handicap all the way down to a 9 in the last few months. So, yeah, I've been playing some golf, man. So I'm excited about my game and finally launching my brand with D-Way Ace Golf. Members only, so watch out for that. Doing art battle, we'll be launching.
Darrell, just to let you know I'm a large, you know. And,
for sure.
You know,
I make sure I lace you up, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'll tag it on IG, although I don't have the following you have. Some may say I am an influencer.
Yeah, but sure. I got you. I'll make sure I lace you up, send you a hat and everything down there.
Let's go. D-Rack,
when you back with us, man? You coming back later this month, right?
I think I will be there in 10 days. Yes, I'll be there on the 22nd.
Oh, nice. Can't wait. Can't wait to have you back part of the
Friday.
Crew, man.
It's a packed day for me that day.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll make some time to kind of
Got the Reardon alumni luncheon that I'm hosting, and then I've got confirmation from my nephew.
You have no idea. Okay. The last 2 years, this guy's the most popular guy in the Bay Area, man. He's busy.
Really? He's running things?
Well, hey, dude, I can't even book a lunch with this guy.
Yeah, it's like, well, I got 30 minutes here, Bonte. I don't have time for you. It's like, damn, man. This would be my brother. Man.
I work cheap.
D-Wright. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Good hearing your voice, man.
Hey, we didn't get no baseball talk, so hurry up and hang the phone up. We need to hear you,
man. It's all good. Go Dodgers, baby. Thank you, fellas.
All right, D-Wright. Our brother from another mother, Darrell Wright, here on the River Islands guest line. Always fun talking to him, man. Really a good dude and great perspective on Klay Thompson and, you know, great perspective on going back to a team that drafted you. Drop 30 gets the Heat. Drop 30.
And I like he was just honest. Like, you never forget. Like, I just know how I am. If you slighted me 36 years ago, I remember it.
Are you kidding me?
You know?
I got a lecture from my old assistant program director, Danny Freisinger.
Uh-huh.
Because, Bonte, why do you always have a chip on your shoulder? I said, because it keeps me going. I don't like when people overly compliment me. Oh, you're doing great. You know, I need what, I'm talking to you, man. What's so important to Spadoni?
I just had a...
Hear ye, hear ye.
It's not a Kingstown.
Quiet down.
I'm telling
you. It is a Kingstown.
King has something to say. Your Majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm? Oh, the king's tale. What is the king's tale?
There's nothing worse than having a conversation with somebody, and then they start conversing with somebody else. It's like, damn.
So, former assistant program director.
I was just going to say,
he told me, silver spoon, Danny Freisinger.
No, he wasn't born with a silver spoon. Danny Freisinger.
Or the golden spoon.
No, he worked he works his ass off.
You're the king, so let's hear it.
He works his ass off, but you know what? He told me, why do you always have a chip on your shoulder? Because this is what drives me. This is what keeps me going. So, anytime somebody disrespects me or says anything, and it happens every single day, I use that as fuel, and I'm a petty individual. So, yes, I feel slighted about a sports editor from 10 years ago. I feel slighted about another radio station. I'm not naming names. I'm not dropping dimes. But trust me, all the slights I received, I don't forget anything.
It's so random.
Yeah, it is random. What did he do to suppress you? They did things.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
No, just you
say it, and I'm like, now I have questions.
Yeah, well, those
Your
questions.
Your Majesty, I have questions.
Those questions would not get answered because we have a break right now. Ha ha. Zotfest is Azili coming up. Brought to you by Life Source Water. And we're going to give away a Klay Thompson jersey. That's right. You want to be listening. We'll give out the number. We'll ask you some trivia. And we'll talk to Festus on the other side here. Brought to you by Life Source Water.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt.
The Morning Roast.
Anytime you hit a great game winner, gonna feel on cloud nine. And if someone isn't, they're just lying to you. So I feel amazing. I mean, I obviously could have played better, but at the end of the day, it's a great win, and I feel just wonderful.
With Bonte and Shasky.
Baby Don't Hurt Me. I kind of like that one. Festus Ezeli going to join us in a couple of minutes. And, you know, we were talking with Darrell Wright, who was here when Klay Thompson was a rookie. And he made a point, Bonte, which it just... I just can't get over it. Like, he's basically saying that, you know, even someone like Dwayne Wade, who got a statue, all right, and ceremoniously had to leave Miami and go to Chicago, then Cleveland, then come back to Miami, like, even he feels jaded after getting a statue that he should have been a career Miami Heat lifer. I get it. I get it, his point of view.
Yep, no doubt. Look how long it took Orlando to honor Shaq. Think about how Shaq hated the Lakers for so long after they chose Kobe over Shaq.
That's a good point.
I mean, Scottie Pippen and the Chicago Bulls. Despite Scottie sitting courtside all the time, he still has a lot of disdain for Jerry Krause, who is no longer here on this world.
Joe Montana, I feel like, still holds some resentment.
He didn't come to the last game of Candlestick because the check wasn't right. Think about that. Think about that. Last game of Candlestick Park history, Joe Montana's not there. So, yes, there is a lot of slight. Jerry Rice, you think he's not slighted even though he's back? He still doesn't forget. Y'all basically picked T.O. to take the throne for me. Yeah. Now I'm going to go to the Raiders and go have a couple thousand-yard receiving seasons and go to a Super Bowl. So, it's kind of... I wonder where... See, now I wonder, with Durant, Dwayne Wade getting the statue and everything, I wonder how Kevin Durant is going to ultimately feel about, say, Oklahoma City or the Warriors. Here in the Bay Area. How's he going to feel? Because he's talking to Kay Adams, and he's like, you know, I don't think I'm going to get a statue anywhere. It's like, well, you're Kevin Durant. You're a statue guy.
Well, I mean, getting a statue is rare.
It is rare. It is rare.
You know, and I think that you have to connect with an area deeper than just being a great player.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to give out a jersey, a Klay Thompson jersey here over the next 30 minutes. 415-523-4652. We'll ask some trivia. And if you get the trivia question right, you will win a Klay Thompson jersey. We'll do it three times a day, once during the 8 o'clock hour, once during the 12 o'clock hour with Steiny and Goo, and then, of course, Willard the Dibs in the 4 p.m. hour. But let's bring in our main man, Warriors pre and post. He's an NBA champ. He's my big man. He's one of the best dudes I know out there on and off the TV screen. It's Festus Ezeli joining us on the River Islands guest line. And all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Good morning, my good brother. And I'm surprised you're up so early, 8:30 in the morning. Maybe you go take a nap afterwards. But Fezzy fell. You've been waiting for this day. Good morning, man.
Come on. What's up, Bonte? Good morning, man. Good morning to my point guard, Shasky. What's good? You know I'm up early every day, right? You know I'm in the gym early.
Oh, I know. You've been listening.
What's early?
Listening a lot to the show. He's been giving us pointers, man.
What constitutes as early in your world?
Me, I'm up at 6 every day. So today I was up at 5. I'm hyped up right now.
I would
now.
Love
I'm
to sleep up. Until 6. Come on.
That's like sleeping until noon for
I
us,
Fezzy. God, I would love that. I'm so
man.
Jealous.
Waking up at 6 in the morning is so paradise, jealous. Man.
If I had a radio show to do at 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd be up too. But nah, for what I need to do, yeah, 6 is just fine.
So you circled this date. You've been waiting for this date. It's the first game of the Emirates NBA Cup, which we're having some fun with here. But it's the return of Klay Thompson, man, and it's going to be so strange to see him at Chase Center in a different uniform. It still hasn't hit me yet, Fezzy.
Man, you know, it's really crazy. I'm really excited. I'm strangely nervous. I'm anxious because I want to get to this game already. Obviously, the whole reason why this day is such a big deal is because of what Klay means to this organization. And he's been nothing but class, man. You know, we talk about Klay being zero maintenance. Like, some people talk about low maintenance all the time. And, you know, Steve Kerr saying he's zero maintenance. And for any basketball player, you know, when you make it to the NBA, there's like, you know, everybody has their quirks and the things that they need. But Klay Thompson has been somebody I've known as a teammate. And all he wanted to do was just play basketball. He loves this game so much, and he just was an incredible teammate to me and an amazing role model for a franchise.
So take me back to the very beginning. You know, we just had Darrell Wright on, and he was going over how he was the vet. And
man, I heard, man. It's like, D-Wright, you're giving away all the juice.
I know. I kind of like that. No, but you were also a part of the team early on, and you came a year after Klay Thompson, and you guys went on a little run, you know, early on. So take me back to the beginning of it, not the championship year. I'm talking about kind of like the come-up when you guys knock off
Denver
Nuggets, and you almost knock off the San Antonio Spurs, and just the ascension of Klay and Steph and Dre and Harrison and yourself and all those guys on that team. What was it like being a part of that?
You know, one thing I definitely agree with you, right? Klay didn't speak a lot, but when he did speak, like, it was always something like heartfelt. And I remember myself as a rookie just coming to this new city and, you know, trying to figure things out. And Klay invites us, all the rookies, over to his house. Like I said, he didn't speak a lot, but, like, you could tell he cares, right? And, you know, he had a chef cooking for us, and we were kicking in. It's just the building of that community, building of that friendship. And for years, people always asked me, even after I retired, like, who are you so close to? I said, Klay, you know, because, you know, I've gotten to see him through the whole journey. I was there when one of the defensive coaches, Dan Erman, challenged Klay. You know, so did Mark Jackson. They challenged Klay, saying, listen, if you want to be the best two guard in the league, you got to play defense. And Klay turned out to be one of the best defenders in the NBA because of his competitive spirit, his drive. I watched him guard Kyrie for us to win a championship. I got to watch him guard, like, all the guards, like Chris Paul, all those things. You know, you talk about the domination of the Warriors versus the Clippers. Well, that was the ascension of Klay Thompson's defense as well. Right, like that, he had to guard all the tough matchups, and then come to the other end and hit shots. So, like, all those things that for a long time I didn't even think he got tired because of, you know, how competitive he was and how much he wanted to come out there and help the team win. So there was there's this amazing confidence that I had knowing that I had these two guys and Steph and Klay, and what they did for the game and how they felt about the game and how they wanted to hit shots.
You know, Fezzi, you bring up his defense and becoming one of the best two-way players in the league, guarding James Harden and Kyrie and Damian Lillard. The list goes on and on and on. Did you underestimate his killer instinct when you first met him? Because you mentioned how he was quiet, and D-Wright mentions how he's quiet. But one thing I'm learning, even as he's a Dallas Maverick, is that his competitive fire is as high as Stephen Curry's and Draymond Green's. Like, he's a killer. He wants to win. Did you underestimate that when you first got to know Klay?
Nah, for sure, because he's so quiet. Like, you would never expect it from him. But, like, I remember my first conversation. This is, like, when I was one of our fresh practices. As rookies, we had to practice before summer league back then. So all the vets were gone. And I remember talking to Charles Jenkins back then, who was one of my point guards. And I was like, man, like, he was talking about how there's these two guards that really shoot the crap out of the ball. Obviously, I knew Steph from watching him at Davidson, so I knew he could really shoot the three. But he was like, man, just I hope you're ready to watch this in practice, because there's another guy over here that goes insane from the three-point line. I was like, what? Wait, which one of them is better? He's like, man, you just got to watch it, see it in practice. And honestly, I got to see it every day in practice, even when they work out. After practice, guys go get extra shots up. And Klay is on one side, Steph is on the other side. And I always used to wonder if they were looking over their shoulders, because the way they were hitting shots was almost like they were competing with each other. You know what I mean? So I always wondered in my mind, like, in an alternate reality, if they all had to be on their separate teams, are they as good without each other supporting each other, you know? So that, I think there's something to be said about that. When Mark Jackson came out and said in 2013, this is the best shooting backcourt in the history of the NBA, everybody thought he was crazy. But we saw it every day in practice. It wasn't just he just came out and said, this is a guy who's, you know, Mark Jackson had played basketball. He's been around basketball his whole life. Like, he understands. He played with greats. And he said it because he saw these guys and he saw the competitive edge, and he had, like, you know, he just had so much faith in these guys, and we all did. So I am really excited today because of what Klay means to me personally, but – I'm excited for the organization to show Clay some love because he definitely deserves it.
What does he mean to you personally? I mean, I'll give you time to think about it. Like, I was thinking about, you know, today's my brother's birthday, for example, and how he's evolved over the last, you know, 12, 15 years. And you've known Clay since he was 21, 22 years old, and you've seen him evolve over the years. What does it mean to you? What does he mean to you?
I'll start off by saying, like, what I've seen from Clay is somebody who is, for someone who's a superstar, like, he is not, like, he's very, very, like, he's calm is not the word. He's very, I'll go back to the zero maintenance thing. Somebody that he doesn't need much, man. He's such a simple guy. Like, you know, when you watch Clay speak, you really don't have to do too much to understand what he's trying to say. He'll usually, more than what most basketball players would do, he will tell you what's going on in his mind and his heart. And I feel like he got a lot of flack for it last year. I'm like, dude, like, y'all not understanding. Like, this dude is, like, really a genuine person. But what he means to me, personally, you know, I'll just say this summer was huge. Right, like I do a camp every year. You know, my nonprofit, we do work in Africa every summer, and Clay has seen me do it the past couple of years, and he came to me and said he wants to come, and I'm like, I mean, people say it all the time, and you know, a lot of players say it to me all the time, but Clay Thompson, in the middle of one of the biggest summers of his career, he decides, you know what, I'm not going to go on vacation. He cancels his vacation because I told him what the dates were, and he was like, I'm coming. You know, and for him to be there and to watch the way the whole country in Cameroon and the kids responded to him, it was insane. Like, I feel like the whole country got turned upside down because Clay came there. And we were trying to keep it under wraps. And, you know, some kids took pictures of Clay because he was so excited to be out there on the court. He's out there playing one-on-one with the kids. They're so excited. He's, like, playing. Like, if they're playing with their hero. Kids are crying. They meet people. Like, grown men are crying. You know, like, I couldn't believe that I would meet Clay Thompson in my small city, you know, and you would never hear this from him, right? Because all the good works that he does, that's not what he does. He doesn't come out there. I would be the person to come out there and tell you what Clay Thompson has done. So, you know, for me to experience the whole summer with him, to see the way people reacted to him, to see the way he was giving back to the community, what he gave back to the charity and to everything we're doing over there, it was really a special moment for, you know, not just for me, for the people in Cameroon. And I'm really excited to know that our friendship means so much that he decided to trust me with a trip like that, because that's a big deal, you know.
Festus Azili here on the Morning Rush on 95.7 The Game, the River Islands guest line. Do you think that trip to Cameroon and out there in Africa, so we were watching your stories, and he looked like he was at such ease with this decision to move on to go to the Dallas Mavericks. Do you think, did you get the same sense that when he was out there and he's seeing the kids crying, he's playing one-on-one with these guys, do you think that he was finally like, you know what, it's okay, life is good, life moves on here? Do you think he was at ease on that trip, or did that help him just kind of come to peace and come to grips with what happened over the last couple of years with the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, no, obviously the last couple of years were tough. Watching him in Cameroon, the simplicity of everything over there, he was so, it was perspective changing for him, and it is for all of us. Right? If you get to see people having so much fun and really loving life, just having the bare basics, it changes your perspective. And Clay came out there and he was, you know, watching these kids playing in flip-flops, you know, kids playing soccer in the mud, barefooted. And he was like, man, what do we really have to complain about? These are his words. Like, it was like, man, he's like, I really am making it a point to come out this next year to play with joy. I'm not, you know, all this stuff, it's a fresh new start in Dallas, and I'm excited to come out there and help my team win. At the end of the day, he's an athlete and he's a competitor and he wants to win. But he's like, man, like, I feel like some of these things are distractions and it takes you away from what we really play for, which is the joy of the game. So you ever saw pictures of I didn't know Clay could dance. So you saw videos. I knew Clay for 10, 13 years before this. I never saw Clay dancing, but that was just a depiction, like another example of the joy, the free spirit, you know, know, that he was going to bring into his new situation in Dallas.
You know, Festus, when former teammates get together, there was the high school my dad went to. They were celebrating their 75th anniversary, our 75th reunion for a baseball team, and they were talking about how they won the championship, and all these OGs are coming together, and they're trading war stories, and they got all these different moments. And I love hearing the players talk, because it's never like the championship game. It's always something else. It could be a loss. You're on the road somewhere. Maybe it's the bus trip. Like, there's always these moments that get brought up. When you and Clay are together, if you feel inclined so, like, what's the game? What's the moment that you guys bring up that maybe the fans wouldn't have at the forefront of a memory?
Man, you know, one, I always used to wonder, because, like, there was a moment before the NBA Finals, and I was trying to figure out if he remembered this. It was a moment right the night before the first NBA Finals in 2015, and it was like the night before, and I couldn't sleep personally, so I'm tossing and turning, because I'm like, man, I can't believe I'm here in the NBA Finals. I was just the kid that's 16 years old that got cut in high school, and I just came from Africa, and I didn't know how to play back then, and now I made it to the NBA, and the story keeps going. I'm in the NBA Finals, and I remember tossing and turning. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. We got practice at like 9 o'clock, shoot around at 9 or, you know, whatever. And it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I think somebody texted in the group chat for the team, is anybody still up? And the text message chain goes off. Everybody's, broop, broop, broop. Everybody's texting. Like, we're all up and we're all, you know, excited to go to this game. That's one of my favorite memories. Something that people don't get to experience, right? Because you just see guys come out there, we play the game. But we're human. We have all these human emotions, and to know that, you know, this thing really stuck out to other guys on the team at the time. And there's other memories, like, we, you know, we just talking, you know, reminisced about times on the court, good times. I talked about his first game coming back after the two injuries, mm-hmm. and how much it meant to me personally, because injuries cut my career short, and how I was so, I was there, I was watching him rehab, I was, you know, around him at that time, so it meant so much to me, because I felt like I was praying and willing Clay to get back on the court. So when he got back on the court that day, I cried. I posted a picture of the video on my Instagram of his first day back on the court after those injuries, and how the crowd goes crazy. If you go listen to it, it gives me chills till right now. Like, I watch it over and over and over. It's really amazing to see the love we have for Clay, and I'm really excited for everybody to continue to give him that, because I feel like last year we lost a little perspective as a fandom, like, not mm-hmm. even just the world, I'm saying just the basketball world in general. It's like, man, this dude, for the second half of the season last year, he averaged 18 points a game, was shooting, what was it?
43%. 43% for three-point
line. Yeah. So it's really insane. Like, this, that number right there, those numbers are a max contract for people right now. And people take these things for granted. But I only say this to say, like, listen, it's the same thing for if you think about Steph or Draymond. Like, these people and these talents that we have here in Golden State, I feel like we should never take these things for granted, because you can blink an eye and everything will be gone, like, you know, because time will pass. So I hope we're appreciating the time that we get to experience right now. Some special, special moments being a Golden State Warrior player and fan.
I'm thinking about, man, well said, Fezzi. Just awesome stuff here. And I'm thinking about the game winner in Indiana. We hit the fadeaway. Mark Jackson ISO'd him. I'm thinking about you being a fan during Game 6 in Oklahoma City, where I thought, boy, 73-9, this is going to end in Oklahoma City. And Clay sets a playoff record. I'm watching you on the sideline going crazy, jumping up and down as you guys rally and send that game to a Game 7. So many memories. And Fezzi, you said it. You're spot on. I think tonight will be a love fest for Klay Thompson. He's built a great legacy here. He's an all-time Warrior. He's an all-time NBA player. And I can't wait for him to get his love out there in the arena. I can't wait to see you later on tonight, too, because you're so close with Klay Thompson, man. Great, great stories, Fezzi.
Yeah, so, of course, man. One of the best two guards in the league, no question about it. He was elite on both ends of the floor. You know, we could talk about 37 in the quarter or 60 points on 11 dribbles, which, by the way, you know, I was talking about Smack. I'm like, yo, I need you to get, like, 30 on, like, two dribbles. But, you know, obviously, you know, when you come back to play against your former team, you want to have a great game. And, you know, like you right said, you either have a great game or the worst game of your career. So those are things you always want to play well. It's going to be really cool to see everybody wearing the Klay Thompson, Kevin Klay hat. All these things are just, Fezzi, you know, all the reasons why we love Klay.
Fezzi, is he coming in on the boat? Is he going to do a one, or did he got rid of the boat, right?
I doubt it. Yeah. I doubt he's coming in on a boat. But if he does. It would be very, very nostalgic for everybody to see him ride in on the bike. But where do you park the bike if you're a visitor?
Yeah, that's a good point. You might get ejected here in this city, man. You don't want to leave that bike nowhere in this city. They'll pick the lock quick in San Francisco, man. There's no doubt about that. Hey, Fezzy, I'll see you on later tonight, man. Can't wait to do it. Clay Day, and it's good to have you on these airwaves.
Welcome back, Clay, Bonte, my point guard, Sasky. Thank you guys for having me.
Have
guys.
A great Anytime, day, buddy. Man.
Great perspective there from Festa Zazili. Great story time. Great the group messages going off. Imagine that. You're playing LeBron James, Game 1 Finals. Warriors haven't been to the Finals in 40 years, and all of them can't sleep, and the group chat's going crazy at 3 in the morning. That's cool stuff right there, man. The damn air horns went off. Oh, that must mean it's time to give away a Klay Thompson jersey. Go grab that jersey. Where's that jersey at? 415-523-4652. Call the contest line right now. You have to answer this question correctly. Klay Thompson scored 60 points in three quarters against what team and needed how many dribbles to do it? Need to name the team and the number of dribbles to win a Klay Thompson jersey. 415-523-4652. Again, Klay Thompson scored 60 points in three quarters against what team and needed how many dribbles to do it? I'll even give you a little hint. It happened on a Monday night at Oracle Arena. A Monday night. Or I thought about the Sacramento game, and I didn't want to go to that game, Shasky. I said, man, it's just this team, and it's a Monday. I pulled over on Octavia. I pulled over there and sat there for like 10, 15 minutes. I was listening to the pregame show. It was just, all right, forget it. I'll go watch some basketball.
Just burning gas, huh?
Just burning. Well, I turned the car off. Throwing some beats. I was kind of thinking to myself, boy, what am I to do? And I was hitting up some of the homies like, yo, where you guys want to watch this game? Nobody was getting back to me. So I just hopped back on the freeway.
So you were going to do a watch party?
I was going to go to somebody's house and watch
Let the record show. Bonte was going to do a watch party.
I wasn't going to do a watch party. I was going to watch it with a couple
buddies. I'm scared of Willard.
I was going to watch it with a couple buddies. That's all.
Is Steiny scared of Willard?
He is scared of Willard.
I'm scared of Willard.
Which is very, very odd. This isn't
Give me the
odd.
Meat. You think he's physically, emotionally?
Mentally.
Is he legally scared of getting, like,
maybe he only
litigated
likes
against?
Maybe Steiny only likes to debate Guru and nobody else.
Well, Steiny does like to pick and choose his battles.
Right. Very wise. Very wise. So, let me know who wins.
I got a big ass.
Whoa.
I'm going to hashtag pause that.
How many people are coming out the woodworks from 95.7 The Game tonight to get credentialed to go to the game?
Oh, I bet you everybody. Everybody who wasn't thinking about going to games. Yeah. You should go.
Right. I promised my brother a long while ago.
It's Deli Boy's birthday?
Yeah.
How old is he now?
Yeah, I don't know.
He looks like he's 45.
Damn, bro.
I'm kidding, Deli Boy.
Dog.
I'm kidding, Deli
Damn.
Boy. I'm just
Get
jabbing
the chalk
you.
Out. You just killed him.
Dude, I'm just giving you. Hey, Deli Boy, happy birthday. Your brother's going to go a whole
birthday.
Show.
37?
Damn.
I think.
37? No hair, three kids.
He got trimmed up. He looks good.
Oh, he looks good?
Yeah.
He does look good.
So tonight was one of those deals where you commit to something not really knowing exactly what's going on. You're like, for sure. And then you look back and you go, darn it. So I got to do some stuff tonight. I'm actually going to go out. There's a celebrity media thing going on over at Oracle Park.
Oh.
It's called Backyard Golf.
Oh, yeah. And, when they set it all up.
Yeah. They were like, hey, we'll let you do it.
There's going to be a lot of celebrities?
Well, I mean, if you consider Deli Boy a celebrity.
No, I mean, who else? I mean, Jasky's on board.
But no, it's
going to
be
a headliner.
So my boy Joey hooked it up, and so I'm going to go out there, and there's a lot of people. The TGL Golf guys are going to be out there, and I'm looking forward to meeting
them.
On
the golf
spot? What?
The who? TGL?
TGL. So like, there's this new golf league that's coming out that Rory McIlroy and Tiger Woods are a part of, and the Bay Area has a team. I don't know if you know this.
No, I didn't know
we
this.
We have a Bay Area team, and so I want to be one of the champions of the team. You know, I want to be able to root them on. Shane Lowry, Ireland, he is on the team. There's a bunch of other guys on the team that you wouldn't know, which is fine. And so I'm hoping to meet those guys tonight.
Names. How do you know what I know? Test me.
I mean, come on.
Test me. What's some of the names?
Look it up.
No, just say it.
Now you're gonna.
No, you don't know the name. Oh, you don't know the name.
I told you, Shane Lowry's one of the headliners. You don't know the name. Steph Curry's involved.
Oh man, you don't know the name.
Anyway, so it's gonna be awesome, and they've got a like I took a top golfy type of a thing at Oracle Park. I've done it in years past. I did it 1 year when there were the fires, the really bad fires. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. It's really cool. So you hit golf balls onto the field, and I'm bringing my brother out there for his birthday. I thought we'd hang out. No, I'll have the Warrior game on the phone.
So you forgot the names.
Yeah, I'm going to look it
up. People on the golf tour. He's trying to pawn it off on me, man. No, you're not getting away with that because you know I got some sleeper golf knowledge. You know it. And now you're supporting Rory McIlroy. Wow. Wow.
The Bay Golf Club.
You supporting Rory McIlroy now?
Well, I'm in this particular one.
You like, can't stand Rory.
Wyndham Clark and Ludvig Åberg. You wouldn't know them. And Shane Lowry. Actually, the logo's pretty cool. It looks like a redwood tree. It's kind of like a minty color with a little dark green, a little forest green. It's right up my, you know, right up my alley.
Jason Santos is the winner of the Klay Thompson jersey. You know where Jason Santos is from?
No.
You want to guess? No? No guess?
No?
No? It's a city in America.
Neighborhood? City?
He's from the Excelsior.
Ah, darn it. San Antonio.
What?
Jason Santos of San Antonio wins a Klay Thompson jersey. How about that? Congratulations, Jason. You'll have two more opportunities to win a Klay Thompson jersey. One in the 12 o'clock hour and one in the 4 o'clock hour with Willard and Dibbs. Steiny and Goo, 12 o'clock hour. Willard and Dibbs, 4 o'clock hour. And I believe, is Steiny and Goo, are they going to be out there at Thrive City?
They are, yes.
So everybody's going to be out there at Thrive City.
We basically have the building to ourselves right now, yeah.
Wow, I don't
Except
have to rush out of here.
Except for the zillions of salespeople.
What are trying to make money for us, so, yes. You know.
And KCBS, they're here too.
And you know what? Yeah, KCBS is always in the building. And you know what? The sales staff, give them a round of applause. They've been making some money around here. They've been making some.